Today on Building the Open Metaverse.
But we didn't want to be a standards organization. And this is probably the key point to understand what the forum is and isn't. Because if we were another standards organization, you just made the problem worse. Now there'll be 25 places to go to figure out what's going on. So the point of the forum is to be this coordination and discussion forum that anyone is welcome to join.
Welcome to Building the Open Metaverse, where technology experts discuss how the community is building the open metaverse together. Hosted by Patrick Cozy from Cesium and Mark Petit from Epic Games.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our last episode of season two. And welcome to our show, Building the Open Metaverse. As you know, we are the podcast where technologists share their insight on how the community is building the open metaverse together. My name is Mark Petit. My co-host is Patrick Cozy from Cesium. Patrick, how are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm doing great. I've been looking forward to this episode since season one, episode two.
Yeah, it's been a lot of work. So we'll talk about the podcast in a minute, but I want to intro our guest today. And we're super happy to have Neil Trivett with us back to the show. Neil is Vice President, Developer Ecosystem at NVIDIA and President of the Kronos Group, an open standards organization which manages OpenGL, Vulkan, OpenCL, but also WebGL, OpenXR, and GLTF. Neil, welcome to the show.
I'm happy to be back. Not often I'm invited back to a place, so I'm happy to be here.
We're delighted to have you, and what a perfect way to conclude for us season two of the podcast. As you know, we started this crazy adventure at SIGGRAPH last year, Patrick? Yes, I'm losing time. With the BOF, and then we created this podcast. We invited you because we felt that it was an important conversation around open standards and open source. And ever since that episode, we had a lot of conversation, which I think we'll talk about. It led to being motivated to create the Metaverse Standard Forum. The Metaverse Standard Forum exists. So I think it's a great moment of celebration. And we're going back to SIGGRAPH in Vancouver in a few weeks. And Patrick and I are organizing a SIGGRAPH class on the open metaverse. So Patrick, you want to give us an overview of what people can expect from that SIGGRAPH class?
Sure, Mark. So yeah, if you go back 1 year ago, we did a Birds of a Feather at SIGGRAPH, and it was 2 hours long. And we realized that we just started the conversation on the open metaverse, especially around open standards and interoperability. So then we started this podcast, and now we're going back to SIGGRAPH in Vancouver in person, and we're going to do a full day course on Wednesday, August 10th. A morning and afternoon session about what are folks doing? What's the state of the metaverse? What's the vision for the future? And how do we build it together with interoperability and open standards? So many leaders are coming from companies as well as standard defining organizations. Many folks that we've had on the podcast before, like Neil and Nadine from OGC, Morgan McGuire from Roblox. So many great folks are going to join us. And also Neil Stevenson is going to join us as well.
Wow. The guy who invented the metaverse, right?
This is true. He coined the term as author of Snow Crash.
Yeah. We look forward to seeing everybody at SIGGRAPH. If you attend SIGGRAPH in person, don't be a stranger. Come and say hello. Patrick and I will be there, and Neil will be there as well. And, he's part of the family here on this podcast. So, maybe we want to go back a little bit. So we'll take a break for the summer, by the way, just from logistics. So we'll go to SIGGRAPH, do the class, take a break, and we'll come back with season three of the podcast, early in September. And it's time to give us feedback, what you guys like, don't like, and we'll factor in this feedback and we'll set things up for a new year where we actually have a Metaverse Standard Forum where we can openly discuss all of those topics. So if you haven't listened to the second episode of the podcast called Open Standard Governance, you should. I think it was an interesting and fascinating conversation that, highlighting the differences between open standards versus open source and the importance of open standards to actually achieve interoperability, because that's really the goal, and we'll create utility and value in the metaverse if we have interoperability. And if we want to have true interoperability, we need open standards. And then there is this other aspect of, you know, building trust and learning how to work together, because just like we have one internet, we'd like to have one metaverse, and we are going to have to build it together. And I think it's important, even though people tell it's early to standardize the metaverse because it does not even exist. That's actually a very fair comment. But if we start to discuss and to talk, if we can check our egos at the door and our commercial interests at the door, I think we can have those conversations early in the process, build that trust that will lead us as an industry to create that interoperability. So Neil, we wanted to have you today because we've achieved a significant milestone, which is the announcement of the Metaverse Standard Forum. So tell us, the momentum behind it seems to be absolutely crazy. So let's start by giving us an update on the Metaverse Standard Forum.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Metaverse Standards Forum was announced as a venue for coordination and cooperation, as you say, between the standards organizations and industry. And it was launched back just over 3 weeks ago on June 21st. And we had a core set of founding organizations that were part of that launch. And it included people like Meta and Google and NVIDIA and Qualcomm and Sony and Epic, of course, Cesium, of course, and the tools vendors, Autodesk, Adobe, you know, lots of good companies were there. We felt we had enough to launch the forum and invite any interested organization in the industry to join us. And we thought, well, perhaps we'll get a couple dozen more companies join us and we can get going. And it's been 3 weeks and we've just passed the 1,000 member mark. So we have...
That's incredible. That's incredibly scary, actually, how we make something... You know, we wanted it to be pragmatic and actionable. I don't know how we do this with 1,000 people. What have you done, Neil Trivett?
I don't know. I mean, it's actually interesting. I'm not aware of anyone kind of doing this before, having kind of this coordination overlay over the standards community. So it's with 1,000 companies, it's both an awesome opportunity. But it is also a logistical challenge because we have now to organize ourselves to make sure that, you know, we can leverage all of this participation, but also organize ourselves internally to have real discussions and real actions, and not get too bogged down. So, but we have some good ideas on how we're going to do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, we knew that the forum would live and die by the participation of its member, and you know, orchestrating a collaboration and participation of 1,000 companies is going to be a challenge. So we will have to work as a group. I mean, this is, you know, the Metaverse Forum is an open forum, and I think everybody's welcome to participate, to volunteer ideas, how we should structure ourselves so we actually deliver on that, on action, and we're not just talk the talk.
Right, that's right. But you know, with this level of participation, I think it speaks to the kind of the hunger for everyone working in the metaverse to get involved with standards. I think it shows the level of commitment and interest that the industry as a whole has to basing the metaverse on open standards. It's a proof point that, you know, the industry wants to use open standards. And with this number of companies and organizations and standards organizations, you know, participating, it is a fantastic opportunity for the standardization community. You know, this level of awareness and participation in the standardization process, you know, I've never seen anything like it. So it is a real opportunity. It's an honor and a privilege to be handed this opportunity. We mustn't mess it up. To your point, how are we going to organize? You know, we're planning to define domains within the membership where people want to focus and, you know, quickly organize into smaller groups where, you know, we can have meaningful discussions and actions.
And one thing you said during all of those, the conversation during the past few months, is that it's not easy for standard defining organizations, for SDOs, to actually get the right input from the industry. I mean, it's something that I was not aware of. And then having this layer of synchronization also between open source and open standards is actually important. so that, you know, we work towards, you know, setting a common foundation across the open source initiatives and the open standards. So there seems to be pent up demand for that collaboration.
I really think there is, and I think what we've discovered is that standards organizations, you know, have been always struggling, as you say, you know, to get the real requirements from the industry, you know, to make sure we're doing something that's relevant. And it's too easy for the industry to assume, oh, you know, standards always worked. You know, it just happens by magic. But of course, if the standards orgs aren't getting that real data, you know, then there's always the danger of standards being designed in an ivory tower, which does no one any good. And the larger community, I think, have kind of felt, well, you know, they're off doing their thing. You know, there's no way to talk to them. They're big organizations, which is, you know, normally not the case. But kind of this disconnect between the larger community and the standards community, that I really, with this level of participation, I'm really hopeful that the forum can really build bridges and, you know, enable that meaningful participation in a much broader sense than we've ever had before.
So can you speak to the structure of the forum so that people understand that it's not another SDO? It is, you know, and what we expect of the members?
Yes. So, and, you know, to for the context, the reason, the genesis story was the realization that, you know, the metaverse is going to need a lot of interoperability. So there's a lot of standardization work to do. We need a lot of different technologies that have not worked together before to come together in a coherent way to work towards this vision of what we have as the metaverse. That means suddenly that the standards organizations have a lot of more interest and pressure to start creating standards that not only are well designed within themselves, but that need to work with, you know, other standards, and including standards from other organizations, because there's no one standards organization that can possibly create all of the different interoperability specifications that we need to build the metaverse. So we put ourselves into the position, and in fact, you know, you guys were coming to us and saying this, you know, you've sold me on standards for the metaverse, where do I go? And, you know, there was nowhere to go. A company would have to literally go down the list, two dozen or more standards organization, saying, what are you doing? And what are you doing? And does it interface with that guy over there? And that's that other standards organization. Where are the gaps? You know, where are the overlaps? What's the roadmap in a coherent sense? And so we figured that the standards community could do a better job. We had an opportunity to do a better job in coordinating between ourselves and reaching out to the industry. But we didn't want to be a standards organization. And this is probably the key point to understand what the forum is and isn't. Because if we were another standards organization, we just made the problem worse. Now there'll be 25 places to go to figure out what's going on. So the point of the forum is to be this coordination and discussion forum that anyone is welcome to join. The work products coming out of the forum would be things like guidelines, and, you know, we want to run Plugfest type projects to actually test interoperability, not just talk about interoperability. And that data, you know, will be fed into the standards organizations, and requirements and use cases would be fed into the existing standards organizations. So the standards organizations would continue, you know, will continue to do the heavy lift, you know, of creating real specifications with conformance tests under their governance policies and IP frameworks, you know, that they have been working under for many years. So it's important that we have those standards organizations in the forum, and we do. We're getting a lot of them to join. But as well as not conflicting with the existing standards organizations, it means the forum can be a much lighter weight organization, much easier to join. We don't need an IP framework, because we're not creating standards in the forum itself. We're feeding requirements to the existing standards organizations. We don't even need an NDA, you know, and the costs are less, so that it's free to join. So, you know, the barriers to joining are much lower than typically joining a standards organization.
Now we expect the members to self-organize. How is this going to happen if, you know, like if the audio people want to say, hey, we need to coordinate the standardization around spatial audio? So practically, how does this happen at the forum?
So the process that we've set up is we are spreading a wide net initially to gather what are the areas of interest that the members want to work on. And this is another kind of governing principle. Now, Kronos is hosting this, and a lot of the standards organizations are there. But we don't want to dictate to the industry. We actually want the industry to tell us, as a standards organization, what they need. I mean, that is really the crux of what we're trying to achieve. So we've cast a wide net, and we're using online information gathering to get anyone who's a member is welcome to put down what their key topics, what are the key pain points, what are the key opportunities that they see for standardization. And we're doing that right now. Now, we're 3 weeks old. We're gathering that long list as we speak. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be gathering those topics together. People can upvote the topics that they particularly feel a passion for. And we're going to be collecting those topics into domains. And already it's very interesting, you know, that those domains are beginning to appear. And we will structure what we're calling domain working groups, where the interested companies in that particular, and it may be a very focused domain, you know, so you can actually do real work, but anyone is welcome to join those domain working groups and get involved in actually doing the real work and the discussions.
And Neil, is it too early to share any of the most popular domains thus far?
Well, they're not final, obviously, because we're still collecting, and there are no decisions yet. But it is interesting. It's beginning to the groupings are beginning to appear. You know, I would say there's, you know, at a high level, there's really three main ones, groups of groups. Spatial computing, in all its various forms. So there's no surprise there. You know, 3D assets, avatars, 3D commerce. And apparel, which is kind of the cutting edge of 3D commerce right now. Geospatial, you know, you'll be glad to hear. And kind of UI in XR, that kind of the user interface. That's definitely strong interest. But also a lot of interest in governance and advocacy. And I hesitate to use the word governance because the forum is not going to govern anyone. But, you know, it's how the metaverse self governs, you know, user identity, privacy, ethics and concerns. It's very interesting. It's not just hardcore engineering interoperability specs. You know, there's things like ethical guidelines and guidance to the wider industry. It seems to be a very strong interest point. And then the third one is even more interesting, and that is Web3. There are quite a few Web3 companies, and this is the more of the finance, crypto, blockchain type of conversations. There are some good domains beginning to appear in that whole space as well. And we're going to be member driven. So if the forum has a meaningful quorum of companies, you know, enough companies are interested in the forum that we can do meaningful work, then the forum is, as Mark says, is essentially self-organizing. So, you know, we will enable those groups to go off and start having discussions.
Great. I'm going to enjoy the rest of this podcast because I get to ask you all the questions I received. And this time I can be the guy asking the tough questions. So one of the questions I received is, you know, did you reach out enough to the Web3 guys? Because it feels like it's there, but it still feels underrepresented. So I'll provide my own answer. I think it's fair. I mean, we reached out, you know, we wanted to have critical mass, a credible number of companies. And we went to the people that we've been knowing for the past 30 years. And we need to forge those new relationships, you know, with those new actors in the world of Web3. And I think it's an open invitation today on this podcast to say, guys, hey, don't take it badly, but we just don't know each other just yet. There is not the same amount of trust as there is between people who've been attending SIGGRAPH together and GDC for the past 20 years. You know, you build those relationships, you build that trust, and I think we need to build this with the new actors as well.
Yes, no, I agree. I think the just because who we are, you know, Kronos is very engaged in 3D, and so are naturally adjacent organizations that we know, Open Geospatial Consortium, the Web W3C, and the Web World Wide Web Consortium. You know, the it kind of ripples out from 3D. So I think the message may take a little longer to reach the Web3. And you know, frankly, it's less obvious that we will gather a meaningful quorum in that space where, exactly as you say, we don't have the connections and the built trust over many years. But I'm hoping that if we can get a quorum, we can add value and we can start building that trust and relationships. And in the first meeting, I was very happy. Some folks from the Web3 community sort of saying, we're very glad to have this opportunity. We want to have a discussion here. We want it to be reality based, and we want to start building bridges, you know, to the other parts of the community. So it was a promising start. We'll see. But now the other part of all of this is, if we find we don't get a quorum on a particular domain, whatever it is, and there's actually another group already doing good work, we don't want to compete. That's too short. We have enough to do. We don't want to compete with, if we discover other forums out there doing work in other domains, that's cool. We'll coordinate with them. But where we can add value, we're keen to let that Darwinian process occur and let the forum self-organize.
Great. Another question I get is, so where does the money come from? Who are you the puppet of?
No one is getting paid.
Yeah, there is no money. That's the secret.
Which is actually important. I've had that question too. And actually, it is an important question. Is there some kind of hidden agenda? Are large companies trying to do something? Is there a conspiracy theory? The answer is no. It's actually all above board. The Kronos is hosting the logistics of the forum. And Kronos is a non-profit. And Kronos is not getting paid for doing this. The Kronos board consider the formation of the forum to be within our non-profit mission, which is to enable and encourage the use of spatial computing technologies throughout the industry. So we're happy and honored to have this opportunity to help bootstrap the forum. But Kronos is funding. It's not a huge amount of money, but it's not insignificant either. Onboarding 1,000 companies takes up some hours of work.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And for having seen the sausage in the making, Neil, I want to thank you, because if you had not rallied the troop at Kronos to bring that minimum level of infrastructure that we needed to get this project off the ground, the three of us would still be talking about it. And so kudos, not for all the work that you did yourself, but for rallying the Kronos organization to leverage their infrastructure and lend infrastructure to this initiative, which is it's not part of their mandate. The core mandate is never done before. Nobody has tried to coordinate SDOs and industries like we're trying to do here. So thank you on behalf of everybody. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. But thank you to everyone in Kronos too for the support, and particularly the Kronos team who've been working around the clock to get everyone onboarded on time.
So. And I know the epic guy on the Kronos board was like, Mark, what is that thing? You should support it. It's a good thing. So, but it was not straight. It was not obvious for the Kronos board that, so I think you did a great job rallying them and convincing them that it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So maybe set of questions. So what it is that the forum is not trying to do?
That's a great question. So I think there are really three things that we're really, really, really not trying to do. One is, we're not a talking shop to debate the philosophical underpinnings of the metaverse or what the metaverse is going to be in 20 years' time. No, we have Twitter for that. we don't need to duplicate that. And
which is for sale, by the way, if somebody wants to pick it up off Elon's hands.
I heard that. Yeah, going for a steal, I heard. But the and this comes from you directly. So now kudos to you, Mark, who has from the beginning has guided the formation to of the forum to be action based and not just a talking shop. So we want to focus on interoperability problems that exist right now today and work on solving them today so we can get benefit today. And that will build the momentum. The other thing we've already mentioned, that it's important that we're not an SDO. So that is really important. And it's confusing to people because we're called the Metaverse Standards Forum. So, hey, are you doing standards? Actually, no, we're helping the other organizations do standards, but that's important. And the other one is more tricky. And actually, you know, when we first launched, we kind of went through some good, interesting discussions on Twitter saying, why are you not enabling individuals to join? You know, because there's a good argument that, you know, the Metaverse, in a large extent, is going to be powered by individual user creators, you know, that they are in the last analysis, the, you know, the lifeblood of what the Metaverse is going to be in many respects. So how come, you know, you have to be an organization to join the forum? Why are you not enabling individuals to join? And it's a tough decision because we absolutely love end users to create content and we want to enable that. But even just limiting ourselves to organizations, you know, we have 1,000 members. So if we'd open it up to individuals, you know, we would be truly swamped and we wouldn't be able to function, I believe. But what I hope is going to happen is, you know, there are end user groups out there and end user advocacy groups out there. We would encourage those groups to join. And so, you know, you can advocate for your end users and then what they need, you know, in the forum. I think that that's kind of a good level of hierarchy. And we would love to have those kinds of organizations to make sure that end users' views are being represented. But we're not going to be a user group organization. No organization can be everything to everyone. It would just be impossible for us to do, I think.
So you referred a few times to 1,000 people, but I apologize to the journalist who wrote that because I forgot the publication title, but somebody wrote an article saying the Metaverse Standard Forum without those five companies is a joke. And I think the companies were Apple, Roblox, Niantic, The Sandbox, and Decentraland.
Yeah.
So what would you tell to people that, you know, about those missing organizations?
Yes, I mean, and it's interesting. We do need the right companies around the table, you know, to be meaningful. So, you know, it's a good criticism. The first thing is anyone is welcome to join. You know, and you know, we have reached out to many of those companies and invited, and we hope they will join. Of course, though, joining any organization is up to the potential joiners. We can't and wouldn't want to force anyone to join. We don't have that capability. So it's obviously a carrot, not a stick situation. I think the best thing that we can do is to prove that we can be an effective organization and, you know, execute actions and projects that add immediate value to the industry and, you know, continue to be, you know, open and welcoming organization. And then people will see the benefit of joining, and I think, you know, it's just the natural way of things. That some people are a little bit more cautious, but once they see the benefit, I think it will be an easier decision to join. Particularly because when companies join, you know, there's no minimum commitment. You're not signing up to engineering resource or money, and you're not being forced to use anything that the forum does. Again, it's very much a carrot situation. You can use, you know, the resulting work products directly from the forum or flowing through the SDOs, better standards. Use them if they're good for your business. And, you know, hey, even if you don't participate in the meetings, you can come and lurk to see what's going to be happening and, you know, find out more information. So hopefully we can get the calculus to be a positive for pretty much everybody, and we would welcome their participation.
Yeah, no, I agree. Given the charter is to create requirements, I mean, we do need all of these important companies. We need their, you know, we do need to hear their point of view on whether those requirements will work for them or not. So it's important.
Yeah, Neil, I think you did a great job designing the forum to be a very low barrier to entry with kind of nothing but upside. I did want to circle back on the Web3 topic, right? So you mentioned that many of us in the graphics and 3D community, I mean, we've been collaborating together for decades, but the Web3 community will likely play a big role, have a big impact in the metaverse. And is there anything else you think we can do to help build mutual trust and mutual collaboration with them?
Well, I think the and in any collaborative endeavor like this, and in Kronos is exactly the same. It's just a different level. The best way I've found, you know, through experience to build trust is to find beachhead agreement. You know, even if you're coming from different continents, find something you can agree on. And ideally, you know, that's something you can agree on, you know, turns into a project that you can work together on. So, you know, even, you know, these two communities are coming from very different perspectives, and there's not a lot of overlap maybe yet, but I can see, you know, the potential for overlap is going to get much more pretty quickly. But if we can find those first, you know, areas of agreement and projects that we can work together on, and, you know, show that we are all, you know, trustable partners and we have interests of the industry at heart, you know, that is the first step to building trust. You can't insta trust doesn't exist. You have to build it over time.
I think there is no fundamental disagreement between the two committees. I don't think we just don't quite know each other. I mean, I think we all want the same thing, like asset interoperability and, you know, picking up, you know, like we talk about it, driving a car from one game to the next. I mean, we want to achieve that. Now, some of the Web3 companies have an opinion that the blockchain technology is the foundation for this. It is not a widely shared opinion. But I think if we're able to talk about the requirements and kind of decouple the conversation between, you know, what do you try to achieve, you know, like identity or ownership, you know, and creating utility through interoperability. I think we could agree on a lot of principles. And now there is the good old centralized way of implementing them. And there is probably a decentralized way leveraging into the blockchain technology for this. You know, it's not just, I don't think we should oppose those views. And I don't think it's going to be the blockchain for everything or the blockchain for nothing. I think we will collectively learn, you know, what's the right solution to the right problem. But I think we should be able to agree on, you know, the problems to solve around, you know, around creating utility. And I say, like, driving cars across multiple games is a good example of something that, of course, we want to do and would like to purchase a car independently and not having to purchase it over and over again every game. And I think that's, you know, so I look forward to actually have conversations, because I think we'll be in violent agreement on a lot of topics.
Yeah, I think so too. And it comes back to, you know, we have this opportunity, the broad participation. There, you know, already there are conversations ongoing that I don't think would have happened without the forum. You know, I personally have had a conversation. I know other people are having conversations with companies they haven't known how to reach out to before, and now they have the opportunity to talk. And, you know, we've talked about requirements flowing into SDOs, which is like one obvious information flow. But I think the requirements are going to be flowing in all directions. I think, you know, the spatial computing community will value the opportunity to filter some of the requirements that they have into the Web3 community. It's going to work both ways, and I hope it's going to be a productive conversation. So.
Yeah, and another thing is this notion of a, you know, bit of cynicism, like you guys are trying to standardize something that does not exist and we don't even know how to build this. I think it's fair, but I think it's, as we said already, I think it's important to restate that the conversation, I mean, it's all about the journey, not just the destination. It's about the working together and, you know, everybody understanding also the issues of the other groups. I mean, we had this episode with Stephanie and Mark DeLura on trust and safety. I mean, it's not something that developers can ignore, you know, and so we have to, the earlier we get exposure and awareness of those issues, you know, I think it can advance the awareness and for everybody.
Exactly. No, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. So that's, and now we have the opportunity to have those conversations. And I think and actually this is not just for Web3, but for the whole thing. And a lot of people have asked, the other tricky question is, how can you possibly start defining standards when you don't know what the metaverse is going to be? I think for Web3 and spatial computing too, I think there's enough we do know. We can start, we can bake the bricks that we're going to need to build the cathedral before we necessarily know the precise plans of what the cathedral shape is going to be. There are clear problems that we can start working on today.
But Neil, the internet evolved the same way, right? There were standards for the internet designed very early before folks knew of the internet the way we know it today.
That's true. That's true. And as I think we mentioned on the last podcast, that there was more regulatory input into the internet to make sure it was open. We don't have that so much in this time around the wheel with the metaverse. So that it raises the importance of the industry self-organizing to make sure we have the right open standards at the right time.
Yeah, and in a previous episode, I discussed with the CTO of Orange, the big European telecommunication company, 250 million customers. And to some extent, telcos, they're a model of interoperability because you can roam on everybody's network and they figure it out. But it's a government mandate. It's not something they woke up one morning. Let's work together and figure it out. I mean, it doesn't take any of the of the merit away, but they had to work out as an industry, because of the public mandate for interoperability. I think we need to start ourselves before a public mandate comes down on us. I think we have a much better chance of doing the right thing if we self-organize as an industry and say, hey, yes, we'll need to figure out how to do like exchange scenes or objects and make sure they look and behave the same. Those very, very basic, as you say, those very basic bricks. I think it's upon us to really, work out some differences in approaches that we currently have and figure out one shared common foundation for those things. And then everybody can build up from there.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's very interesting, getting the right standards at the right time, getting them soon enough that we can fend off some of the chaos that will happen if we don't have the right standards at the right time. It's not just helping the engineering interoperability part of the whole metaverse equation. It is also helping the ethics and governance part too. If the foundation of the metaverse is built on open standards, it's a big step to make ensuring that the metaverse too, like the web, is open and accessible and inclusive to everyone. So there is some urgency here, which I think is one of the ingredients to why we've had so many companies interested to participate.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is important to call out is we do not know the economy of the metaverse. I mean, is it going to be, are we going to still collect people's data and sell this data to do advertising? Well, maybe that's going to survive. Maybe not. And what it is, are we going to live on a purely transactional base where, all the economics are around transaction, around content? Well, maybe not. We do not know that, but I don't think we don't need to know that.
Right.
Right now to make things work and create that foundation. So we have to be very humble about the fact that, hey, we don't know what the metaverse is going to be.
Yes, that's right. I think the business model considerations are going to be, in some ways, more intractable than the engineering.
I would not want to be...
it's important that the Metaverse Forum, Standards Forum, is not going... it's not its place to insert itself, of course, into anyone's particular business model. All we're doing is trying to create interoperability standards so the companies can build the business models that they think are going to be successful. That's always the role of standards. Standards don't dictate business models. They enable innovation in business models if done correctly.
And the business models for the internet also evolved over decades as well.
Yep, exactly. We're definitely on a journey of 1,000 miles here. So I agree.
All right. So Neil, as you know, because you've been here before, we have two questions for the end. So First question is there anything that we should have discussed today and that we have not yet discussed?
Well, I'm hoping you're going to ask me who you should invite next. Is that the next question? Because I think I'm going to jump. Mark, you have an inside track here. You need to get Tim Sweeney onto the podcast. Because you know, you look back to what he's done, SIGGRAPH Spotlight back in 2019, it was almost prescient what he was saying were going to be the issues. And you know, here we are, three or four years later, and we're working on precisely what he said. We mean, it will be awesome to get Tim to give us a State of the Union.
So for everybody on SoundCloud, you can find the recording of Tim Sweeney's 2019 presentation about the metaverse. And I think it's good. It's a good piece to keep aside and listen once in a while, because there was a lot of concept there that, you know, even have been influencing this conversation. I mean, a lot of the things I'm here for is also because, you know, Tim, my boss, has been pushing me to do something about for many years now. So, and he will come in due course. I think there is a project that's near and dear to his heart, and he told me he wants to come when he can speak about that project. And yes. Tim is the kind of guy that's not going to, you know, he doesn't sell futures. He's going to come when he feels it's ready.
Yes, that would be very cool.
So is there any person that's not Tim Sweeney, group of people or institution that you want to give a shout out to today?
Actually, I'm glad you asked. I have a couple people. I don't want to belabor it, but we've already mentioned the Kronos team who've been doing a lot of work. I don't want to give a shout out to the Metatraversal community. And as we were very early in figuring, is people going to be interested in this kind of forum? They were so much energy, so supportive, and a lot of networking. It was instrumental to setting up the forum. So I want to give a shout out to Ben and Evo and all those guys. You helped this all come together, and we do appreciate it. I want to give a shout out to Christine Perry. Some people might know her. She's been a force of nature for 15 years or more, connecting the dots for open standardization in AR, and now she's already playing a key role in the forum. We wouldn't have had all of the SDOs join in the first round if it wasn't for Christine being her normal, awesome, tireless self. And I want to thank the founders that founding 35 companies, particularly the SDOs. They had no idea what the forum was going to be, really. We have no idea. But they, you know, they put their trust in us, and that enabled us to do that launch. And last but not least, I want to thank Mark and Patrick, because you guys were the inspiration for this. That podcast was the inspiration for getting all this going. And you both have been instrumental in helping us set the right direction. So kudos to you two too.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Right, Patrick? I mean, it did not even feel like work. It's, you know, it is. Look, let's take a note, and let's come back with, you know, with the result of what we have done. I think we've done the easy. We always said, so far has been the easy part, because it would be such a popular topic. So hopefully very, very soon we have some really pragmatic outcomes that we can talk, and we'll talk about, we'll monitor, we'll keep ourselves on it on this podcast. Right, Patrick?
Yes. And that's a good note to end on, because you know, we should celebrate the launch and the participation, but the interesting and hard work is just starting. So you know, we shouldn't get carried away. The launch is just the first step. So we there's a lot of work coming, but as you say, it doesn't seem like work. It's awesome to be involved in this.
Patrick, you're ready for SIGGRAPH?
Mark, we're really looking forward to SIGGRAPH. I think the in-person energy after a few years of virtual will be really great to get folks together. And also all the course materials, we're going to do everything we can to get all the slides online as well.
Yeah, fantastic. And I have to admit that Patrick is doing the heavy lifting on dealing with the logistic of creating a SIGGRAPH course that respects all the rules of SIGGRAPH. So it's a little bit more complex than getting on a microphone and talk in a podcast. So thank you, Patrick, for all of that. We can't wait. Can't wait to be at SIGGRAPH. Can't wait for this class to happen. And then we'll see you, everybody, back in September with season 3 of the podcast. So, Neil Trivett, congratulations again, and thank you for everything, both at Kronos, at the Metaverse Standard Forum.
Sure. No, thank you. It's a pleasure. Good to see you guys.
Patrick, we'll see each other for the first time in real life in Vancouver.
Yes, I feel like I know you super well.
Oh yeah, same here, but we actually never met.
I'm not gonna think in real life, I don't know.
Neil, we met in real life before, but I don't think I met Patrick. All right, Patrick, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Mark, and thank you everyone for listening to this episode and to this entire season.
Yeah, and again, hit us on social, hit us at SIGGRAPH, let us know what you think. Let us know what you want to talk about. Wish everybody a wonderful summer, a wonderful SIGGRAPH. Thank you very much.